This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد my dear brothers and sisters I remind myself and you that all goodness starts with thankfulness. Be it with people, be it in relationships, be it in marriages, be it in employment, be it in friendship. And above all, in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, everything begins with thankfulness. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that, and he began his kalam with the word of thanks, which is after his name, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Now, brothers and sisters, let us ask ourselves, what is my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nobody can say with certainty how strong and close that connection is. And we will know that only when the curtain is lifted for us and we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must reflect on this and ask ourselves what we are doing to build this connection. So the focus must be on saying that no matter how strong or weak the connection might be, I must focus on building the connection and getting it stronger and stronger as my life progresses. And we must do our utmost to ensure that we never do anything that is likely to strain or break that connection. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who referred to himself and introduced himself by his beautiful attributes, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had the freedom to say and introduce himself to in any way he wanted, but he chose Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. I will come to the specific meaning of these attributes later, because they are mentioned again in the third ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha. But here, let us reflect on the barakah of beginning in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who chose to introduce himself, as I said, with these specific attributes of his among all the other equally magnificent ones. This is to indicate, inshallah, the primary relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with his creatures, which is a relationship of mercy, overriding mercy and compassion. So we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for introducing himself with these sifat, with these attributes, with these qualities. Because if he had not done that, we could not have made him change his recitation, change his revelation, and change his words. The introduction is important because further interaction depends on how a person introduces himself. If a person introduces himself as a doctor, you won't ask him to fix your car. Similarly, even though he may know how to do it, but you won't ask him to do that. Similarly, if a person tells you that he is a motor mechanic, you will not tell him about the pain in your heart. So reflect on the importance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introducing himself as Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. It defines our relationship with him jalla jalaluhu and tells us what we can expect from him, which is his mercy and compassion, boundless and complete. Compassion is not merely mercy, but something that arises out of a true understanding of the difficulties and pain of the one suffering them. For example, someone who has undergone heart surgery can truly understand the anxiety of the one who is waiting to be operated. For others, it is more academic because they don't share the experience, though they may well sympathize with the patient. Similarly, when people say, for example, husbands say about their wives who are about to undergo delivery, or they say about their wives who have borne children, And if they say that they understand what the woman went through, that is not true. Because there is nobody who can understand the suffering and pain of delivery except another woman who has gone through it, not even a woman who hasn't gone through it. So to be able to truly have compassion and truly empathize with somebody's suffering, it is essential that one must have an understanding of that by having experienced something like that themselves. There is a special relationship between the one who is compassionate and the one who is suffering the pain, and that's a relationship of shared experience. Who understands our pain better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although He is free from our experience, but is our creator and the creator of our experiences. So we begin the surah and the Qur'an and must begin all our actions with the name of Allah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All goodness starts with thankfulness. Thankfulness creates barakah in our lives, enjoyment in our experiences, and application and appreciation for what we have. It's the beauty of thankfulness that the same things, when you look at them, when you feel them, when you experience them, and you are thankful for them, then the enjoyment automatically increases. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to begin with praising and thanking Him. All praise and all thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the sustainer, the protector, the provider for all the universe. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise is for His glorious qualities and attributes, and thanks for His ni'mat, for His blessings on us. Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his tafsir, records this hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, and collected in Ibn Majah. And the hadith is that Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a slave of Allah once said, "O Allah, yours is the hamd. Yours is the thankfulness and the glory and magnificence that is suitable for the grace of your face. Yours is the hamd. To you is all thankfulness, and to you is all the glory and majesty that is suitable, equal to the grace of your glorious countenance, your face, and the greatness of your supreme authority." So the slave said, "Rabbi, lakal hamdu, kama yambaghi li jalali wajhika wa li azimi sultanik. Rabbi, lakal hamdu, kama yambaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik." The two angels, the Kiram and Katibin, who record deeds and who record the reward for the deeds, were confused as to how to write these words and what reward to ascribe for them. So they ascended to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, "Oh our Rabb, a slave just made a statement and we are not sure how to record it." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked, while having more knowledge about what his slave had said than the angels. And in these kinds of ahadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah asked this and asked that, please understand, this is not, Allah is not asking for information He doesn't have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and knew what the slave was going to say even before the slave knew that. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to create witnesses for the slave, in favor of his slave, and therefore He asked the angels so that what the angels say is then recorded in the book of deeds of the slave as evidence in his favor. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them, what did he say? And they said, he said, "O Allah, yours is the hamd that is suitable for your grace, for the grace of your face and the greatness of your supreme authority. Rabbi lakal hamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajhika wa li azimi sultanik." And they said, what shall we write and what reward shall we give him? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, write it exactly as my slave said it, and until he meets me, and then I will reward him for that equal to what he said. Imagine, Allah is saying, I will reward him equal to my glory and majesty. My brothers and sisters, This is the mercy and glory and magnificence and generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He Jalla Jalaluhu reminded us, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحَرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحَرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا. Allah said in Surah Al-Kahf and in another place also, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the people, to mankind, if the sea were ink, in order to write the words of praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the sea, if the oceans were ink, the words of my Rabb, surely, to write the words of my Rabb, surely the sea would be exhausted before the words of my Rabb would be finished, even if we brought another sea like it for its aid. If all the oceans were ink, and if you started writing the praise and glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanks to Him for His innumerable, uncountable benefits and blessings that He has given us, we would exhaust all of that ink equal to what the sea contains. And then even if another one was brought, meaning if another seven oceans were brought, that would also be exhausted. But the praise and the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanks to Him for His ni'mat would not be finished. In 2017, I was in Mozambique and we were sailing in the Indian Ocean. And I remember it was midday, it was extremely hot. And the sea, this is the beauty of the ocean, that the water seems to become, you know, obviously it doesn't change color, but thanks to the play of the light on the water seems to change color throughout the day. So at that time, because the sun was directly overhead, the water was a deep indigo blue. Now, I remember in my childhood, we had a kind of ink called quink. Q-U-I-N-C-K, quink. We used to use fountain pens, and I loved to write, even now I love to write with a fountain pen with a broad nib. So this quink was the ink we used, which was a very deep indigo blue. And this whole ocean looked like it was filled with quink. It didn't look like it had water. And it was very still. It wasn't even, there were hardly any waves. The boat was rocking a bit, but that's it. Other than that, it was very still, and it was blue, this deep indigo blue. And I remember thinking that, subhanAllah, this is, you know, to show me the actual meaning of this ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if the oceans were ink. And sometimes we may think, oh, how would it look if the ocean were ink? Well, I actually saw what it looks like if the ocean was ink. Now, talking about, you know, thinking and saying, oh, but you know, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, are there really that many? So is there really praise is that much that it will exhaust the ink of these oceans? Think about this, take this in an astronomical perspective. There's no need to reduce everything to an actual literal sense, but just for the interest of it. Take this earth, and what is this earth in actual size, if you look at it from in an astronomical perspective, this earth is less than in size and it's, you know, what it has. It's less than a grain of sand on a beach, right, compared to the rest of the universe. So if there is a droplet of water, I mean, you won't even have a drop. I mean, on a grain of sand, how much water can it contain? If you have a micro droplet of water on a grain of sand, that is the actual perspective of the oceans on this earth in comparison to the rest of the universe. And we are not talking about universe, we are talking about the creator of the universe. So if you have this tiny grain of sand, and on this grain of sand is a tiny micro droplet of water, that is the ocean. Now if that tiny micro droplet of water turns into ink, how much can you write with that? How much can you write with that? Not even one word. Forget about it. I mean, not even one letter. You won't be able to write the alif of Allah. So think about it in that context. Don't think about, oh, this ocean is, this ocean is big, it looks big because we are so small. That we are like a speck of dust. For a speck of dust, a teaspoon of water is the ocean. So again, as I said, we don't have to reduce everything to a literal sense, but I'm saying for anyone who wants to doubt that and say, how can it be? Well, this is how it can be. Subhanallah, there is no power in our language to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He is worthy of being praised. So the best that we can do is to use the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself used to describe His glory and majesty. For nobody knows Allah better than He knows Himself. And nobody can describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than He can describe Himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Himself in many places in the Quran, in many ways. And here are some of them, some of the most famous, some of the most weighty and magnificent ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The biggest and the best of them, inshallah, wallahu alam, we are not comparing, I'm not comparing the ayat to the ayat. But inshallah, the ayat which is considered to be the most magnificent ayat of the Quran is the ayat al-Kursi. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, la ta'khuduhu sinatun wala nawm, lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard, man dhalladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'idhnih, ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum, wa la yuhituna bi shay'in min ilmihi illa bima sha'a, wasi'a kursiyuhu as-samawati wal-ard, وَلَا يَوُدُهُ حِفْزُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah said, Allah, la ilaha illa hu, none has the right to be worshipped but Him. The ever-living, the one who sustains and protects all that exists, neither slumber nor sleep overtake Him. That means He doesn't even blink, not even for a second, not even for a microsecond. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on earth. Who is He? Who is the one that can intercede with Him, with Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, except with His permission? He knows, Jalla Jalaluhu, what happens to Him, what happens to them, that is His creatures, in this world, and what will happen to them in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from His anger and from the fire. And He, and they will never compass, they will never know anything of His knowledge except that which He wills, Jalla Jalaluhu. His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth, and He feels no fatigue and no tiredness in guarding and preserving them. And He is the most high, the most great. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned His beautiful sifat and awsaf in Surah Al-Hashr, where He said, وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ هُوَ اللَّهُ الْخَالِقُ الْبَارِئُ الْمُصَوِّرُ لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He is Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, than whom there is la ilaha illa hu. Nobody has the worship, has the right to be worshipped except Him. The all-knower of the unseen and the unperceivable. Al-ghayb is unperceivable, not just unseen. The all-knower of the unperceivable and the perceivable. He is the most beneficent and the most merciful. He is Allah, other than whom there no one has the right to be worshipped. He is the King, the Holy, the one free from all defects, the giver of security, the watcher over His creatures, the Almighty, the Compeller, the Supreme. Glory will be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah amma yushrikun. He is above all that they associate as partners with Him. He is Allah, the creator, the inventor of all things, the bestower of forms, and to Him belong the best names. All that is in the heavens and the earth glorify Him, and He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself in this beautiful surah, Suratul Ikhlas. If you recite this surah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this surah accounts for 1/3 of the Quran. And if you recite this surah 10 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build for you a palace in Jannah. And in this hadith, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, then we will recite even more. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not get tired of giving, so Allah will give you even more. So no matter how many times you recite, for every 10 times you recite Suratul Ikhlas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build for you a palace in Jannah. Now think about that. Don't just think about palace in Jannah. Think about if you have a palace in Jannah, then inshallah this Jannah is yours. You will go there, because if Allah has built a palace for you, He is not going to keep the palace vacant and He will not give it to somebody else. So therefore, if you have done this, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. And if you remain in Iman and you die on Iman, inshallah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you Jannah. So do this. Make sure that you recite Suratul Ikhlas at least 10 times a day. And may Allah give you the opportunity to build more and more palaces in Jannah. Another way you build a palace in Jannah is by not getting angry and not retaliating angrily to somebody who is behaving stupidly. So if somebody is yelling and screaming and behaving like a crazy person, and don't respond in kind. Don't say anything, just walk away, go away from there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build for you a palace in Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will build a palace for you, I will guarantee a palace, for the one who will give up arguing even if he is in the right. Right? Somebody who will give up, doesn't argue. Even though he's right, he still will not argue. So, alhamdulillah, there are many, many beautiful things that we learn from this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Allah said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He is Allah, the One, Allahu Samad, the self-sufficient, the Master, whom all creatures need. He begets not, nor was He begotten. Allah is not the son of anybody, and Allah has no sons or daughters or relatives. Allah is not like anything in his creation. And there is none who is co-equal or partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or comparable to Him. My brothers and sisters, let us reflect on who we worship. This is the purpose of the Quran, is not simply to read it, but to think about it and to reflect on it and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the kalam, open His kalam in our hearts, and to open our hearts for this kalam. So let us reflect on who we worship. We don't worship the creatures and creations of our own imagination. We don't worship mythological creatures. We don't worship gods and goddesses that we created. No? Ask yourself, think about this thing. How come all Greek gods and goddesses looked Greek? Right? Ethnic Greeks. How did the Roman gods and goddesses all look like Romans? How do the Hindu gods and goddesses all look like Indians? How is this possible? I mean, if there is a god, then who is the creator of the Caucasians? Who is the creator of Chinese? Who is the creator of black African people? So when we create gods and goddesses, we create them in our image. And then we tell ourselves that God created man in His image. Why does God have to create, or why does any creator have to create something in His own image? A carpenter does not look like a table. Somebody who is manufacturing this hat doesn't look like the hat. So why can't the creator create something that does not look like Him? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is not my opinion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah said, He is not like anything in creation. Allah does not look like the sun or the moon, or He doesn't look like Jupiter or Uranus. Allah does not look like you or me. Allah does not look like any creature. He doesn't look like a river or a mountain. He doesn't look like anything in creation. All of those are His creatures. This is our faith, alhamdulillah. This is the truth, this is the haqq. Allah, therefore, There's nothing in that Allah has which is like ours. Allah, we have relatives, Allah has no relatives. We have jealousy, we have anger, we have hatred. Allah has none of those things. We have sons, daughters, wives, husbands, whatnot, parents. Allah has none of those things. He is free from all this. He does not need any of those things. This is the beauty and this is the reality that Islam presents to the world. Whether the world accepts it or not is up to them. We are not here to force anybody. We are not here to force or compel anybody to accept our view of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or of the relationship between Allah and His creatures. And that's not our view. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. How do we know about Allah? How am I talking about Allah? Have I seen Allah? No, I have not seen Allah. I am merely repeating like a parrot what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Himself. As far as the listener is concerned, take it or leave it. No problem. I got no quarrel with you. If you want to reject everything I have said, no problem. Please go ahead. You want to accept it? That is for your own benefit. Nothing to do with me. I don't get brownie points. I don't get, you know, some part of a subscriber's fee because there is no fee. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free. The Anbiya did not charge a fee to teach the deen of Allah. The Anbiya did not charge for da'wah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't charge anybody to teach them the Quran. The deen is free. Anyone who wants it, take it. It's like the river. It's flowing. The water is there. If you want to sit by the bank of the river and die of thirst, that is your choice. You cannot say, I was not given water. You cannot say the water was not there for me. No, it was there. It was right there. You were sitting right next to the water. You could have drunk the water, you could have bathed in it, you could have swam in it, you could have done anything you wanted. But you chose not to touch the water, you chose to simply look at the water. Maybe you did not even look at the water, maybe you turned your back. And you were looking at the hilltop or looking at the flat plains through which the river is flowing. And you tell yourself, there is no water. No, that's not true. The water is there. And that's exactly the situation of hidayah, of guidance. The guidance is there. Allah has sent the guidance. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْحَقِّ هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Rasul with Hidayah and with the religion of truth. And Allah does not compel you or me to accept it. La ikraha fi din. For the one who is not a Muslim, there is no compulsion to accept Islam. Islam is being presented to him. Take it or leave it. Obviously, there are consequences to taking it and consequences to leaving it, which you will see when you die and you face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. The choice is free. We are free to choose, but the choice has consequences. The choice itself is not free. The choice itself has a consequence, good and bad. So let us think about this. We do not worship celestial bodies. We do not worship animals and trees. We don't worship mountains, rivers. We do not worship anything in creation. We don't worship something we created. We don't worship ideas. We worship the only one who is worthy of worship. We worship the creator of all of these things. And of all that we know and all that we don't know. And by that, we are exalted above all creation. And all creation has been subjugated to us only because we worship nothing but the Creator. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything in creation has been made musakhkhar, has been subjugated, has been made for you. And that is why Allah gave us the power, what we like to call science, which is another word for the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the Ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through science, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the power to understand His creation. When you are looking at, for example, medicine and medical science, and you are looking at cures for diseases, what are we really seeing? We are looking at a greater and deeper understanding of creation. We understand the disease and we understand how to alleviate the suffering from that disease. How can we deal with that disease in a way where the disease does not harm us or cannot harm us? That's what we are doing. So it's very important to keep this and understand this and to keep this in mind and keep the perspective on this. And not get sidetracked and say, oh, what do you, science is enough. I don't need God. That's stupid, because science came from Allah. What is scientific knowledge? Scientific knowledge is the knowledge of Islam. This is one of the biggest mistakes and one of the biggest fallacies and one of the biggest pieces of confusion that we have fallen into, where we have created it. The human beings have created this division. We have fractured knowledge into what we call dini knowledge and dunyavi knowledge, as if they are two different bodies of knowledge. How can they be two different bodies of knowledge when they both point to the same thing, when they both are related with the same thing? And the source of both of them is the same. The source of all knowledge is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. And this knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knowledge that He is the source of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it to us in two forms. One is what we like to call dini knowledge or Islamic knowledge, which basically refers to the Quran and Sunnah, which refers to the ahkam, the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which refers to the way He should be worshipped, and the rules and regulations that refer to that we are taught to deal in the Islamic way of life. And the other, which we like to somehow push away and treat as a sort of step, give it some stepmotherly treatment, which is the knowledge of science, is what? Is again the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of understanding, of trying to understand. We can never understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but trying to understand the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by looking at His creation through a different lens. So it's like looking at something. I'm wearing these glasses, my regular reading glasses. And then I take these off, and now I'm using a microscope to look at something. The thing I'm looking at hasn't changed. I can't call this two different kinds of knowledge. It's just two different ways of looking at something. And what am I looking at? I'm looking at the creation. And the creation is a sign of the Creator, Jalla Jalaluhu. So knowledge is the same. This is the, as I said, is the biggest calamity that we have brought on ourselves by fracturing this knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us very clearly, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of the day and the night, there are ayat, there are signs. There are signs for people of intelligence. What signs? Signs pointing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Signs pointing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a whole lecture of mine on this, on these two ayat of Surah Al Imran, so I will not repeat that here. But the thing to remember and understand is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us these signs so that we can recognize Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. And that's why that these ayat end with what? رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاتِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِيلَ هَذَا بَنَّارِ. The result of science is, oh Allah, You have not created us in vain. You haven't created us without purpose. Oh Allah, save us from the fire. This is what the scientist will say who has first looked at creation, and who has looked at the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the lens of Iman, whose heart is illuminated with the glory and magnificence of Allah, with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that scientist looks through the scientific lens, he looks at it through the microscope and the telescope and all the different kinds of scopes. When he looks at creation through the scientific lens, He only sees the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See that orchid behind me. Yeah? The creature of Allah. It sits in a pot, it's watered once in a week. They put 3 ice cubes in it. So that the water sort of, you know, gently, as the ice melts, the water gets to the roots. Once in a week. And it's just there. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Creature of Allah. Just outside my house is an oak tree. The trunk is so thick that I can't put my arms around it. And the height of this oak tree outside my house is maybe probably about 60, 70 feet high. I mean, they grow to almost double, double and more of this. But this one is about 60, 70 feet high. And the most active bird on the tree, on the trunk, is a white-breasted nuthatch. Little bird this big, pointed beak. Goes up and down the trunk, just hops up and down the trunk, usually head pointing downwards. Absolutely amazing. I mean, there's a northern cardinal, a blood-red bird with black goggles, which sits on a particular branch of that oak tree. There's one particular branch, that's his favorite perch. He sits there every morning and he sits there every afternoon and he sings for me. He has this long serenade, he has this long song that he sings. Yeah? And I say for me because wallahu alam, but I'm saying, you know, I like to imagine that he's singing for me. He's actually doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I walk to the masjid, the first, the most zakir bird that I know in America is the American robin. From the time it is dark, right, maybe 4 o'clock or something, it's dark, but the robins are singing the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifying the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one next after the robins is this cardinal, very, very early. So going to the masjid, I listen to the robins, the dhikr of the robins, and returning from the masjid, I listen to the dhikr of the cardinal. Glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yusabbihu lillahi ma fi samawati ma fi rabb. Everything in creation glorifies the praises and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything. Ma fi samawat wa ma fi rabb. The rocks and the trees, the grass and the flowers, the birds and the animals, the human and the jinn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us choice. So minhum mu'minun, wa minhum fasiqun. So in those are the mu'mineen, are the believers, are those who fulfill their covenant, are those who honor and respect what Allah has given them, and there are those who do the opposite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ وَبَدَأَ خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ طِينٍ ثم جعل نسله من سلالة من ماء مهين ثم سواه ونفق فيه من روحه وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة قليلا ما تشكرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and this is Surah Sajda, who made everything, he is the one who made everything, he created good, and he began the creation of man from clay, and then he made his offspring from semen of worthless water, male and female sexual discharge, and then he fashioned him in due proportion and breathed into him the soul which Allah created for that person, and he gave you hearing and sight and hearts and understanding. Little is the thanks that you give. SubhanAllah, we need to seriously, you know, continuously and seriously remind ourselves of the importance and criticality of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has bestowed us with. And thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He did not give us. For example, one of the things I One of the great things that people always want to know is the future. That's why all these astrologers and tarot card readers and all sorts of charlatans who don't know what they are saying, they make a good living because of the number of people who go to them willing to be fooled. You go to somebody and say, please fool me. He fools you and he says, oh, mashallah, mashallah, look at this man, he knows the future. He knows nothing. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah did not give me the ability to see the future. And He didn't give it to you either. Because if he had this ability, believe me, sometimes the future might be so tough and difficult that you might just give up. Right? So it's being able to do something and not being able to do something, both are blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll continue, inshallah. Bismillah ta'ala, if Allah gives hayat and tawfiq, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept and be pleased with what we are trying to do to help us to understand His glory and majesty and to spend our lives in trying to please Him. We ask Him to become pleased with us and we ask Him never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.